The following podcast has so many words that you might want to think twice about before you play them at work. So put your earbuds in. Let's have some private time. Just me and you. Okay? Let's go.
All my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be. Hey, my vagina.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 113 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. This week, we have a story about art and sex from first-time storyteller Jordan Kay. But first, The world out there is kind of tough right now, isn't it? So I want to tell you a story that kind of made me really happy. There are days when I really love my job, and I had one of those days this weekend. As a bit of backstory, you may have heard me talk about Kinky Salon, one of the largest sex parties in the world, and its founder, Polly Superstar. Polly Superstar and I have known each other probably, Kinky Salon I think is 17 years old now, so we've probably known each other 20. And when I found Kinky Salon, there were other people that came together every month and we created this place where people could make their fantasies come true. It was a really loving, supportive community of core volunteers, and those are still some of my very closest friends. And Polly Superstar is the founder. Polly decided to go on tour a number of years ago. She was going to go to the other Kinky Salons around the world. She was planning to go to Kinky Salon London, then Kinky Salon Berlin, then Kinky Salon Copenhagen. She was coming out of a rough patch in her life, and she decided she was going to live the dream. She was going to have a lover in every port. She was going to make her fantasies come true. And she flew to Kinky Salon London and met somebody, and they really hit it off. So much that he flew into Kinky Salon Berlin, and she was like, it's supposed to be a different lover in every port, but okay, I've got a lover in every port. It's kind of working out. She was concerned because he lived in London. She was from London. She knew she was not going to move back there. She lived in San Francisco. And she wasn't sure how long distance was going to work. Adam was so smitten with Polly. And he was doing his damnedest to jump through all the hoops. And Polly's a strong-willed woman. There's a lot of hoops. She pretty much said in the beginning, I'm expecting, because this is a long-distance relationship, that there will be a lot of cock shots. I'm going to need you to send me constant cock pics. He said, okay. And he started sending cock pics, but I don't know if you've ever sent a lot of cock pics. It gets a little old after a while. They're trying to keep it going long distance, totally crazy about each other, but how do they make this long-distance thing work? So one day, they're on Skype talking to each other, and Adam says, okay, grab the book nearest you. Go to page 132. I want you to go to the fifth paragraph, and I want you to go to the 17th word. What is that word? That word is of. He's like, of? Really? It's not even a real word? She's like, that's what you told me to do. Why? And he said, look, this cockpick thing is hard. And so I'm trying to get some inspiration for it. I'm trying to do a better job. Instead of just sending you a picture of my dick every single day. A few days later, she gets another cockpick. This cockpick, his dick is sitting on top of a picture of a camel in a magazine. On top of his dick, his hard dick, I would assume, is a big piece of toilet paper. His dick's jutting out proudly. And she's like, what is this? And she had to guess She wasn't really sure. And eventually he said, Lawrence of Arabia. Okay. He has upped his cockpit game, clearly. They're telling me this story recently because I am telling the story of their romance as part of their wedding next month. And while they're telling me this story, I'm like, wait, can we pause here? Is your family going to be there? Am I telling the full detailed story, or are we cleaning it up? And they're like, no, you're not cleaning it up. You're going to tell the actual story. And I'm like, great. Okay. Please continue. That's what I was hoping you were going to say, because this is going to be hard to tell without being allowed to tell it. The relationship continues. They're madly in love with each other. But, you know, how long could it possibly last? It's long distance. Long distance relationships are hard. I keep saying hard. I'm so sorry. So they've planned that they are going to meet in various places around the world. They decide they're going to have a trip together to one of the most beautiful places they can think of, Guatemala. Christmas comes, and it's 16 days before the trip to Guatemala. Polly has noticed prior to this that she's getting a lot less cockpits. And she's starting to think, see, long distance. I knew it. These things just don't work. He's starting to lose interest in me. That must be what it is. Christmas comes along, and he presents her with a gift. It is a cock advent calendar. She looks at it and he goes, there are 16 shots in there. One for each day until we see each other in person. That's why the cockpit slowed down, because he'd had to make 16 to present to her. She told me that her favorite one of those 16 was when he had gone to Chinatown. He had gotten some chicken feet. He had taken those chicken feet. He had put them underneath his hard cock. He had made a falconry hood to put over the head of his dick. She looked, she guessed, it's such a fun game. And eventually she went, is it birds of prey? He went, that's right. How fucking brilliant is that? And she told me, while they sat there together on Skype telling me the story, that sort of creativity was kind of what Kinky Salon had always been about. It wasn't walking into a sex party, looking at somebody and going, you're attractive, I'd like to boff you. It was, did you bugle bead that number yourself? Because it was all about costumes and creativity and, you know, irreverent sensibilities. And that's why it felt like home to me the minute I found it. I love erotic creativity. And Polly, the founder of that party, has found that in a partner. They now live together in Vegas. They're about to tie the knot. And I will be there to open the wedding ceremony, telling their love story, the story of their romance, and about the creativity of those cock shots that made her know that he was the one. Isn't that a great story? No matter what's going on out there in the world, we have that, folks. We've got that story. And I'm so glad that you got to hear it. I asked for permission before I shared that story, but it's really inspired me, and I hope it inspires you too this week. Are you ready for your story for this week? This storyteller is someone who had been coming to Body Storytelling Seattle for a long time with a rather sizable polycule. A polycule, let me read this to you so it sounds just right, is all of the people linked through their relationships, usually romantic and or sexual, to one or more members of a polyamorous group. And she had quite a sizable group. So, I'm a curious person. I wanted to know what the story was behind it and how she found this world. She told me her story. We decided to put it on stage. And she was already showing up every single month to the live show. But when she found out that our timekeeper in Seattle, Princess Fancy Pants, was going to move out of the area, she came up to me and said, I want to audition to be the timekeeper for Body Storytelling. Audition. Doesn't that sound like power? I like power. I was like, well, let's talk about what that might look like. I asked her, because I'm a terrible person, I asked her how she felt about her butt, and she said, I feel pretty good about it. And so she has been surprising us every month with this part of the show where we open it, where she ends up flashing us her very attractive derriere. And she always wears these special panties that tie into the show in some way. We get to read her butt. It's a great start to the show because, you know, we're literary. So, of course, we're going to include reading, storytelling, right? So, recently I challenged her and said, how about this? I would really like to be able to know exactly what photo album I'm looking at all the time by looking at your boy shorts that you wear on stage. Can you start integrating the theme for the evening into your undies? And she said yes. So our next show, which is coming up on March 19th in Seattle, is going to say Best of Body. Hopefully she's going to make a special pair of Best of Body panties to wear on stage and show them to all of us. Because who didn't want to look at that? She has told stories twice now. I hope you'll get to hear the second one sometime soon. This was her very first time getting on stage at Body. This storyteller is Jordan Kay.
So I'm sitting in my car outside of one of the suburbs of Seattle, somewhere outside of an apartment building. I've got a death grip on my steering wheel, and I feel like I am just sweating bullets. This is one of those moments that I have just been waiting for so long, but why am I so damn scared? So I take a couple of breaths, I get out of my car, I'm walking up these stairs, and I look up and I see these big crystal blue eyes staring at me. A big smile across his face. And I realize in that moment when I'm looking into those eyes that those fantasies that I've just thought about and only imagined seeing in just my dreams was about to happen to me right here and right now. Oh, guys. So I've always liked to have a little bit of color in my life, right? I like art, Van Gogh, tattoos, body art, and I love EDM music, going to raves. These things have always inspired a lot of the artwork that I've made myself. And it's something that I felt like I really wanted to share with somebody. So I ended up getting online, and I met Kyle. Now, he kind of looks like Jason Momoa, only if you take out the muscles, the tattoos, and the guy liner. But hey, he still hit all of the points that I really wanted to look for in a man, so I was feeling pretty good. I reached out to him, got to know him a little more. He ended up moving here from Texas with his family. We met up, and things kind of started getting really good. Feeling so good, actually, that at 23 years old, I found myself getting married. Shortly after my marriage, though, things had started to change just a little bit. My artwork had become a waste of money. Boo. And going out to raves was just something that people did when they just wanted to fuck around. And married women don't need to be going out. I should be at home, making sure that dinner is on the table, making sure that my husband is happy. But I wasn't happy. That's not the life that I wanted. I wanted to share my art. I wanted to go out to these raves, and I wanted to dance and feel all the vibes in the room with everybody. That's what I wanted. So, this is intense, guys. So I decided that I was going to try. So I stayed home as often as I could for a couple of years, started watching this body painting show called Face Off. I was getting really into it, like really into it. Like so into it that I was screaming at the television when they kicked my favorite contestants off. And as I was watching the show, I realized, damn, how cool would it be to be able to see your artwork and your personality walking around on a human, a breathing, living canvas? That's something that I want to try doing. So I went out, I got myself some body paints, I got some brushes, and I was trying to, you know, give myself a little something that I felt like I could have again. Kyle didn't love it. He said that there should be other things that I could possibly be doing with my time. So I said, fine, fuck it. I'm over this. I went out and I got more colors. I picked up more brushes and I painted my ass off. And God damn it, I was getting pretty damn good at it. And the first thing that he could tell me was, I really wish you would stop this. And so that was the moment that I decided I needed to take back my life. I needed something to be mine again, even if that meant saying goodbye. So I did. I said goodbye. I was feeling pretty lonely at this point. I reached out to one of my friends, and y'all know Lois from Family Guy, right? She's kind of like Lois meets Scarlett Johansson, only if she was 6 feet tall, had flaming red hair, and a shit ton of curls. But I like to call her Kathy. So I was telling her a little bit about how my life has been going, how I've been feeling just down, telling her about some of the things that I wanted and things that I was just searching for. And she said, well, what is it that you want? You know, Kyle and I don't really have a whole lot of sex. And when we did, it was pretty much just missionary, and it was so boring, and I just wanted something different. What I want is to be thrown up against the wall, have my hair pulled, and smack me around and call me all the nasty names that you can possibly think of. That's what I wanted. That sounded fun. So she looks at me and she said, you know what? I think I have just the thing. She pulls up FetLife. Oh, FetLife. She types in this name, My Dirty Life. Okay, this is the guy. So we pull up some of his pictures. I'm kind of scrolling through. He's looking pretty cute. He's kind of like Johnny Bravo, only with Jeff Goldblum's salt and pepper hair. And he's kinky too. All right, let's do this. So we shoot him a message. I tell him my name's Jordan. He says his name is Josh. And then he asks me, what is it I'm looking for? And I told him what I was looking for. I want to be roughed up. I want some rough, kinky sex and shit that I couldn't have even imagined myself doing. That's what I want. And he says, okay, I think I might be able to help you with that problem. Okay. So we talk a little more and we set up a date. Saturday. All right, Saturday. I've got a couple of days. Cassie, I don't know what I'm doing. Never done any of this stuff with Kyle or even thought about it, and I don't know what to do with this guy. I think I'm in over my head, and I don't know. Oh, girl. And so she says, it's okay. We've got a couple of days before Saturday comes up, so if you're open to learn, I'm willing to teach you some things. All right, fantastic. Okay. So she takes me to her friend Mark's place. And she sits me down, she's rubbing my shoulders, and he's willing to let me learn a few things. I'm feeling pretty good, so she said, all right, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna teach you how to suck dick something fierce. So what you're gonna do, when you put your head down onto him, make sure that you're breathing out. When you lift your head up, make sure you breathe in nice and deep. And if you need some more air, don't be afraid to pull off and just run your tongue up the entire thing and look him in the eyes while you're doing it. Make it sexy. Oh, don't forget the balls too, though, because they like that. So a couple days goes by. I'm practicing away. I'm feeling pretty goddamn good at this point. And even Cassie's like, yeah. Yeah, you got it. And I'm ready. So Saturday rolls around. I'm walking up those stairs, and I see those crystal blue eyes looking at me. He pulls me into the apartment and pushes me up against the door. Are you ready for this, little girl? Yeah? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. So he gives me a big smile and grabs my hair and pulls me into the bedroom. I start unbuttoning his pants, and he forces me down to my knees, and I take his pants down with me, pull his cock into my mouth, and I'm just remembering all these damn tips that Cassie had given me, and I'm feeling freaking great. And he's letting me know that he's feeling great, too. So he puts me up on the bed, pulls my clothes off, he slides inside of me, and he is just fucking me so hard, I am feeling my mind just go blank. Oh my God. I'm just laying there, and what feels like was maybe just minutes felt like hours, and I am just begging him for more. So a few more minutes goes by, and he looks down at me, and he's like, what do you want me to do, little girl? I want you to come for me, Daddy. Daddy. So he flips me onto my hands and knees, and he's fucking me as hard as he can. I'm sitting there, and I'm just begging for him to come for me. Please, God, just come for me. A couple more seconds goes by, and I beg him again. You hear him start to moan. I start screaming with him, and he's coming. I'm coming, and I'm feeling great. Just explosions happening all around. So he collapses next to me. We're both breathing really, really heavy, trying to come down from that Olympic-style sex that we just finished having that I'd never experienced before. And now that we've calmed down, he rolls over. We kind of start talking. He starts telling me about some of the swinger clubs that he goes to, the adult theater that's down the road. And I think this is cool, but I mean, you know, I don't really... This is like a one-night thing. I don't really have any intention of, like, talking to you after this, so... So I think, you know, this is great, but I'm gonna go. So I put my clothes on, and you know, that's the thing that you're supposed to do, right? One night stand, you fuck, you put your clothes on, you're done, right? I mean, at least I said goodbye. And I'm walking out of that apartment feeling like a fucking queen. So the next day comes around, and I'm living my life, and I get a message, and I see it's from Josh. I wasn't lying when I said I wasn't trying to talk to him again, so I was like, what the fuck does he want? I open the message, and it's a good morning. He's asking me how my day went. It's all right. So I start talking to him a little more. He tells me more about Secrets, the adult theater that he goes to, Club Sapphire. And soon enough, I know that he's taking me these places. We're fucking in front of a bunch of people at Club Sapphire together. We're sucking dick in the glory hole room at Secrets, and I'm just having an absolute blast with this guy. Things are feeling great. And thanks to him, thanks to Cassie, I feel like I'm able to paint the world with my own colors again. So my life had felt pretty fucking miserable. I was seeing the world in black and white. Nothing was mine anymore, and I just didn't know what to do. But a year has passed, and he's still calling me his baby girl. I'm still calling him daddy. We're still making those memories together, and I could not be happier.
So I wanna say, yeah, just
That song was Sexual, the Oliver Nelson remix by Naked featuring Dio. Oh, harder, Daddy. Have you ever wondered why sex educators have such shiny, manageable hair? It's because they've always got a supply of Uber Lube on hand. Uber Lube is a high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. You already know lube is the key to maximizing pleasure, whether you're going to town alone or with a partner. And if you're going to lubricate, you want to make sure it's done with high-quality, body-safe ingredients. And when it comes to lube, nothing beats Uber Lube. Uber Lube offers a long-lasting performance when you want it, then quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. It feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished. And it takes care of those little flyaway hairs so that you look perfectly coiffed when you go back out in the world. Uber Lube is latex compatible, so it's safe and effective to use with condoms. And since lube is supposed to enhance touch and not overpower it, Uber Lube provides just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensation. It's great for all kind of play, vaginal, anal, oral, and Uber Lube's measured pumps allow you to dispense the perfect amount of product every time, even in the dark. It won't stain your clothing or bedding, and any spills can be easily cleaned with detergent and water. It has no flavor and no scent. And since Uber Lube works underwater, it is the best for fun in pools, lakes, and hot tubs. Right now, Uber Lube is offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. 10% off and free shipping. Just use the code Dixie at uberlube.com. I really love Uber Lube, and I think you will too. Uber Lube lets you feel what you want to feel. So go to uberlube.com right now and use the code Dixie for 10% off and free shipping. So many people discover the Body Storytelling Podcast and then go back and listen to our entire archive of stories. It's kind of evergreen content, I think they would call that. And so if you've been listening for a while, you may have heard the ongoing saga of Todd. Todd sent me a recording of his voice twice now. He first contacted me back in September to tell me that he'd had it with the years of being ashamed of who he was, that his marriage was ending over their differences, and that he was planning to attend his very first live body storytelling after Folsom Street Fair. That was September. Later, he sent me another voice recording talking about how the community he'd found at Body, he was now a regular, and he felt like he'd found his home. That was around the holidays. And for our 13-year anniversary a couple of weeks ago, he sent me this message. Dixie, I am so excited for Saturday. I have started seeing a wonderful sex and kink positive woman, and we are communicating in the ways I've always dreamed of, and she's gonna come to the shows with me. Todd went from ending a relationship and coming to his first live show alone to bringing a woman who wanted the same things he did in less than 5 months. Now, your mileage may vary, but I think that's pretty damn inspirational. So I'm going to tell you about upcoming live body storytellings. You can make your dreams come true, too. On March 12th in San Francisco, our theme is It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time. It's one of my favorite themes because people listen to it, they hear me announce the theme, and they go, ah, which means they got a story. I love those really open themes that make people realize they have a story for this show, and they're going to get on stage for the first time. So I would expect we're going to have some first-timers on stage on March 12th. We're going to have VIP front row tables again for this one because people really love them gift bags. On March 19th, we're doing Best of Body Seattle. Survey is up now, so go vote for your favorite four Seattle storytellers. I need you to tell me who to put on stage on March 19th. You can go back and look for names that you recognize from the podcast and vote for your favorite four. There's got to be four Seattle storytellers in the last 10, 12 episodes, I would guess. If you haven't seen the live shows and you don't know who to put on stage, just vote. Voting lets me know that you're participating. It lets me feel like you want to see somebody on stage. Sometimes looking at somebody's name makes you go, that sounds like somebody I'd like to hear a story from. And whoever wins the Best of Body is going to be on stage on March 19th. And they'll probably be telling a brand new story that will end up on this podcast. So do your part. And if you can't make it to a live body storytelling, listening to the podcast is the next best thing. But my favorite thing ever is changing your life the way that I changed Todd's life. So go to our website, bodystorytelling.com. You can find tickets there and on the show notes for this episode. So this morning, I got to experience something that felt really good. I got an invoice that was for podcast production and other admin things associated with the show. And I went to Patreon, and those two numbers were really close to each other. They weren't quite there, but they were close. And that makes me so excited, because if we can cover the cost of podcast production through Patreon, then that means we can start thinking about the other things that we can do with this show. Something that I've been doing for a long time is I've been recording videos of the show. I've had this great audio team who's been recording. We have tons and tons of recordings that we're right now starting to go through. It used to be just me, and now we have a team. That team's helping me find the right stories for the podcast, helping me figure out at what point we can grow to more than one story per podcast. And we're also starting to talk about things like live streaming the entire show, which would be something that you could either get as a Patreon reward or who knows. But it's something that I asked Embody Storytelling Fiends and Fans, and they were really excited about the idea. It's just one of the things that we can do if you support us on Patreon. So please go to patreon.com/body, B-A-W-D-Y. Support us at whatever level you can. Right now you get ad-free podcast episodes, but soon we're going to be offering even more rewards. We're giving you behind the scenes from the live shows. We're starting to produce more videos. We stopped for a long time because YouTube and the whole situation with Feasta Sasta, which was shutting down anything related to sex. They were pretty much hiding our videos, so we stopped. And now we're working on a new way for you to see the people on stage telling their stories. You're a podcast listener, probably. You probably like that you get to hear the story. But for me, it's always been looking at the person who's standing on stage and thinking, they look like a regular person. And if a regular person can have these adventures, anybody can. I feel like it can inspire us to bigger and better things in our lives, to not just fantasize about them, but to make them happen. That's just a tiny part of what's possible if you support us on Patreon. And thank you in advance for your support. Mm-hmm. We've reached the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to all the people who make this podcast work. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia, sound engineer David Grossoff, video archivist Joe Moore. Thank you to you for listening, for telling your friends about this podcast, for reviewing us. We've gotten 450 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts so far, but I don't think I've gotten to read your generous words about what this podcast means to you. And I want to know that. So review us if you can, and I appreciate it so much. People value what you say, and they're going to believe you, and they're going to give us a try. And you did that. Thanks. I am sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour. This has been episode 113 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. And here's a peek at what's next.
The next time, if you ever get to be at a swinger event, helping somebody get their birthday, whatever, blowjob, cunnilingus, like group sex situation, whatever it is, be the person that checks people in. Because when the line takes too long,